The Pakistan Taliban has a new leader, Mullah Fazlullah. He is young and ruthless, known for leading the Taliban's bloody two-year rule in the Swat Valley, and is also believed for ordering the shooting of schoolgirl Malala Yousafzai. Under his rule, a stream of kidnappings, public whippings, torture and beheadings occurred in Swat. Reza Jahn is with the Critical Threats Project at the American Enterprise Institute. He joins us now from Washington. Reza Jahn, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran. Thank you for having me.
Mullah Fazlullah is committed to overthrowing the Pakistani state. Is he regarded, even by the Taliban, is he regarded as extreme?
He's definitely a hardliner. Even while the previous leader of the Pakistani Taliban, Hakimullah Massoud, before he was killed in a drone strike, when he was exploring talks with the Pakistani government, Fazlullah himself said that he was going to rule out talks with the Pakistani government while there was exploratory peace negotiations. He was responsible for a bomb attack on a Pakistani military convoy that killed a two-star general. And he, at that point, had said, I'm not interested in talks. Our objective is very clear, and that's the overthrow of the Pakistani state and the establishment of Sharia rule. So he's always been considered a hardliner. And as far as the Pakistani military especially is concerned, he's probably in a perhaps even as much, if not more so, than the late Hakimullah Massoud. He's the enemy number one.
Is he, in that case, a surprise choice to lead the Pakistani Taliban, or was he the obvious one?
Well, if you look at his resume, if you look at his CV, he's definitely qualified for the position. He's one of the most experienced Taliban leaders under the Tehrik-e-Taliban Pakistan umbrella group, the main Pakistani Taliban movement in the region, in Pakistan anyways. But he's not a member of the Massoud tribe. Now, the founder of this TTP group was a Massoud. The main leadership of the Massoud, of the movement of the TTP has been Massoud-based. Hakimullah was, the previous deputy was. So for them to choose a leader who's not from that tribal core that's really been sort of the life of the network up until this point is surprising. And frankly, it's alarmingly for the state, it's a sign of maturity for the network that they can move past this tribalism to essentially pick their leaders more on a merit-based system, based on experience, based on ruthlessness, based on who they think is going to have the most traction and the most to bring to the table.
Yes, a maturity for the network perhaps, but alarming too if they see under a merit-based system the person they choose is the hardest liner of them.
Absolutely.
All. Just before we get a little bit more detail of what he did, just could you sum up his worldview for us, his ambition?
So Mullah Fazlullah has really been part of a movement to try and bring Sharia rule into those parts of Pakistan since the early 1990s. His father-in-law is a man named Sufi Muhammad, who started a movement in the Swat Valley in the 90s to try and bring Sharia rule there, and eventually tried to, he took thousands of fighters across the border to fight in Afghanistan when the Americans invaded. Fazlullah, when he eventually took over his father-in-law's movement in the Swat Valley, he started again popularity with his radio broadcasts, which he started from an illegal FM station in 2004, really started to gain traction with locals over there. And by 2007, he was waging a full-fledged insurgency in the region to impose Sharia law. He actually eventually managed to make the Pakistani state capitulate and sign a peace deal, essentially giving him de facto rule over the valley, and they were able to run it according to Sharia law. Luckily for the Pakistanis, he once again overstepped and broke that peace agreement, and it gave the Pakistani military enough public support to go in after him and to push him out of the valley across the border into Afghanistan. But his objectives from day one have been the overthrow of the established system in Pakistan, the constitutional democratic state, and the imposition of Sharia law. And he's taken it to a very, very narrow worldview, a very extreme worldview, as you saw from his shooting of Malala Yousafzai.
Yes.
Last year in 2009, the flogging of the young lady that went viral across the country and that helped build the public support for the military operation against him, all the public beheadings and hangings and shootings that he would have. There was one square in the main city of Swat called Mingora. It was used to be called Green Square, and they renamed it Bloody Square, because that's where he would essentially go and have people either executed or then have executed bodies on display as a warning to other people. So he's definitely on the hardline side, and his selection as the new leader of the group definitely, I think, for now anyways, spells the end of incipient peace talks between the Pakistani Taliban and the Pakistani government.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 6 minutes to seven. We're speaking with Reza Jahn from the Critical Threats Project of the American Enterprise Institute about the man who has just been named as the new leader of the Pakistan Taliban, Mullah Fazlullah. And that description of what he established in Swat Valley in a relatively short time, it was radical, it was violent, it was no holds barred. Of course, it is no surprise that the peace talks between Pakistan and the Pakistani Taliban would break down now. They'd already been in abeyance since the drone attack took out the previous leader, Hakimullah Massoud. It is certainly almost impossible, you'd think, that they would resume under his leadership, this Mullah Fazlullah's leadership, anytime soon. But more than that, I think Pakistan would be very worried about what Mullah Fazlullah might be planning in terms of relations with Pakistan.
Absolutely. I mean, he's already said, and other commanders in the network have already said, that they're planning on taking revenge for Hakimullah's death, that they're definitely planning attacks across the country, specifically targeting government and military targets. In fact, there was an intelligence report that was at least leaked to the press in Pakistan, where the Prime Minister, Nawaz Sharif, and his family had been urged not to make any public appearances because there was the worry that there were suicide bombers that had been dispatched to Punjab province, where his family is based, in order to target both him, his political party, his family members, and then, of course, government and military targets in retribution for Hakimullah's death. So they've definitely got a lot to worry about, given how publicly the network has said that, the Taliban has said that they're going to go out and take revenge for Hakimullah's death.
Just to stay with those peace talks for a moment that were going on, and as I said, under Hakimullah Massoud with the Pakistani government, what is the end game there? How important are they? Are they more important for the Pakistani government or ultimately for the Taliban?
So I think the peace talks were more important from a public relations perspective for the Pakistani government. The Pakistani government for a long time have been trying to push the narrative of peace talks because they really weren't interested. They still frankly aren't interested in taking strong military action against the Taliban. They've got a domestic agenda where their primary concern is the economy and the energy crisis, and they saw the whole Taliban question really as a distraction, and they were hoping that sort of dragging out the peace talks process for a year or so would give them enough time and buy them some breathing room to be able to make some gains on the domestic agenda. Of course, the Taliban don't really work under that timetable or under that supposition. And for them, the peace talks were something that the government would talk about, but the Taliban wouldn't really respond seriously. So even when Hakimullah Massoud, the leader of the Pakistani Taliban, before he was killed in a drone strike, had even when he said that he might explore peace talks with the government, at the same time, his group was launching major attacks, high casualty attacks across the country. So
Reza,
it showed a level
Just briefly on that point, we're almost out of time, but just very briefly, does this have any implications for the operation, how the Afghanistan Taliban may operate, especially coinciding with the pullout of the international forces?
Well, what we've seen is that the condolences that have come out for Hakimullah's death, following his death, show a greater level of contact and relationship between the Pakistani Taliban and the Afghan Taliban than I think a lot of people were aware of before. Operationally, it shouldn't really affect because the Pakistani Taliban and the Afghan Taliban have historically maintained a division where one group operates on the Afghan side of the border, the other operates almost exclusively on the Pakistani side of the border. And so the death of Hakimullah shouldn't really affect operations inside Afghanistan. The only difference here is that Fazlullah for the last couple of years has been based out of Eastern Afghanistan's Kunar and Nuristan provinces.
Right.
And so if now the Pakistani military and perhaps even the United States start to focus a little bit more attention on that region because of Fazlullah, it will be interesting to see how that affects their operations inside Afghanistan. But I don't envision anything major given the historical separation there's been between the Afghan and the Pakistani branches of the Taliban.
Reza Jahn, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
No worries, my pleasure. Thank you.
Reza Jahn from the Critical Threats Project at the American Enterprise Institute in Washington.